Hey, friends, I want to first thank you for tuning in to the SGT Report version of the podcast, The Propaganda Antidote. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Same with the box of cereal. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now. It's how corporations are trying to hide inflation, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Mike Collins, but for today, how often are you reminded of your achievement?
Well, if I go out back and look up in the sky and see the moon, I either can remember where I was 20 years ago, or I can pretend I've never been there, and it works for me either way.
Let's talk about this, because this is fascinating. I remember very clearly, I think anybody who was alive at the time does, I remember my parents waking me up and we went down and we watched you guys land on the moon.
No,
which
you didn't.
Was,
no, you didn't.
What?
Because there wasn't any television. There wasn't anybody taking a picture. You watched animation. See, you associated what you saw with...
I have very hazy memories.
I know.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks for joining us. Get ready for a deep dive into deep woo. Joining me on this conversation are my friends David Weiss and Jaron from the YouTube channel Jaronism. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Well, if you think crypto assets are the future, I've got good news. My Digital Money's cash account is here. Finally, a crypto cash trading platform with top-notch US-based client service that actually answers the phone when you need help. My Digital Money offers features to help you make a better crypto investment decision that are either not available or that you have to pay for in other platforms. Trigger orders, that's right, automatically sell or buy coins based on your own parameters. Gain loss prompt, know how much you're making or losing in real time. Tax options, you can choose how to sell your cryptos to make your taxes most efficient for your needs. Since MDM offers both crypto IRA and cash trading, there's no need to move from one platform to another for all your crypto investments. You can do all of your crypto investment in one platform and enjoy a customer service quality you can't find elsewhere. The company was founded by our friend Colin Plume from Noble Gold Investments, so it's a company you can trust. Although MDM is offering cryptocurrency investments, their primary product is service. My Digital Money is here for you. Just dial 833-636-2008 or look them up on the web, mydigitalmoney.com. Hey, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. It's fantastic to have you back. Are you ready for some woo? Some of you aren't. That's fine with me. If you're not into the woo, you can just stop watching now. No offense taken. I love you guys all the same. I'm very excited to have back on the line my longtime friend, David Weiss. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thanks for having me back. And I just want to say, I remember the first time I was on with you, I think it was with Marty Leeds, and you took a lot of flack. This is maybe my fourth time on, and I think you're going to get less and less and less. Have you been noticing that?
Yeah, I think so. People know that they've been lied to about everything. So yeah. Is it possible they've been lied to about the heliocentric model, about what NASA claims to have done in 1968 to 1971, where they took a dune buggy to the moon because it was so easy to get there, but we've never gone back? I think people know that there are a lot of lies, and maybe this is one of them. I'm very eager to welcome to the show for the first time, Jaron from Jaronism over on YouTube. Somehow the man still has a YouTube channel. Good on you, Jaron. Welcome.
Yeah, knock on wood, right? Probably not won't be too long, but yeah, happy to be here, Sean. Thanks so much, and big fan of the show and all the stuff that you've done. And yeah, I think we can go one step further too with the, you know, is it possible that they're lying about space? We know they're lying about everything. So I have to ask the question, why in the world would we assume that they're telling us the truth about the one place that we can't go? The, you know, we'll never be able to verify Mars. We'll never be able to verify that there's a rover there or that Jupiter's as big as they say or anything. So it's even worse than just, could this be another lie? To me, it's the most obvious of all of them. If they lie about what's right in front of your face, and what we can go and touch and verify right now, why wouldn't they lie about something we'll never be able to verify?
Yeah, and we know they lied about this past election. I want to do just a news roundup here in a second. How do I loathe Joe Biden? Let me count the ways. But let me just say, after our last interview, David, I did see a comment, and I want to address this right now because I didn't know the answer. I don't think the mirror is there. But somebody said, oh, okay, if we never went to the moon, who put the mirror there that they can shine a laser up?
So in short, the way they claim they found the distance to the moon is they shot a laser at the moon before there was a reflector there. Then there's only one, just one division of NASA or whatever that had this. They send, how many trillion photons do they send? They send like 100 trillion photons.
Four quadrillion
photons. And then they get one back and the machine goes bing. And they're like, yep. And then a number shows up. I mean, I could fake that with, you know, my first computer they ever got.
But is the claim that NASA astronauts put a reflector there back in 1970 or something? What's the claim?
So the claim is that they put a reflector there and somehow they fire a laser beam at it and then they can, you know, time it and they figure out how far the moon is within centimeters. It's all just mumbo jumbo nonsense.
And I can share my screen. Actually, you might be able to see it if I just go like this. But if you look at the history of the lunar laser ranging experiment, in 1962, MIT was supposedly bouncing laser pulses back off the moon. Yet everybody wants to say that the proof that we went there is that there are mirrors there that were able to reflect back. But, of course, if they were able to do it in 62, then the fact that they can do it now certainly isn't proof that they went there in 69.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will recall, maybe not the younger folks, you'll have to look this up, but our beloved former president who was assassinated by the deep state, John F. Kennedy. Recall that speech when he said, and we choose to do these things, go to the moon and these other things, not because they're easy, but because they're hard. Yeah, no kidding, they're hard. I think it was Wernher von Braun who predicted, in the 50s, that they would need to construct a rocket the size of the Empire State Building to get to the moon. By his estimate, I think it was a 3-stage rocket. What did they end up building? Something far, far, far smaller in the Apollo program. And again, it became so easy and mundane that they started bringing a dune buggy to the moon. If you buy that, my friends, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Please comment on that before we do a news roundup, Dave.
Yeah, so if you just look at the lunar lander, it's literally a hunk of junk. And if you look at the specifics where they had the rover in the lander, none of it makes any sense. And when you, I'm trying to pull up a picture, I got this one. I put googly eyes on it, but this is what they landed on. It literally looks like a fifth grade homeless tweaker shelter.
And by the way, the lunar lander is said to have folded up into that lunar.
Yes.
Lander, right. Or what did I say? The lunar rover is said to have folded up neatly into that lunar lander. Right. Tell me how that works, because I don't even think that the architect forms. I don't even think the engineering data is available to prove that. And by the way, all of the telemetry data is gone. That all vanished.
It was lost.
All the proof that we ever went to the moon has been lost.
Right. Some people did an analysis on the lander. It's a frame of an old Jeep from like the Korean War.
The rover.
The rover. Yeah. The rover, not the lander. And this is supposedly a picture of the lander coming back to the orbiter and connecting. So there's two grown men wearing diapers in there that this thing is coming together. This is what they're showing us. They got a model. This is ridiculous. I mean, if you went to a movie and they showed you this, you would ask for your money back.
Well, although really in defense of what you're showing there, that to me is one of the more believable pieces of footage, because I don't know what that would look like. Right. So I could buy that as 1968 black and white. I'm sitting in front of my TV and I'd say, oh, my God, look at this incredible accomplishment for mankind, when really maybe it was Kubrick directing the whole thing. Who knows?
I'm glad you said that. When we talk about the current billionaires in space, I'm going to show you just a launch from yesterday. And I think it's worse than this, what I'm going to show you. But before I do that real quick,
let me ask Sean a question real quick while we're on that subject, though. Sean, so the part that I think, and my audience is tired of hearing me say this, but what I think is just appalling is that, you know, Elon Musk for the last 2 years or whatever has been trying to land his Starship, right? So it's the tin can that goes up about 5 miles. Then he tries to come back and it would blow up a few times, and I think it hit the ground once and then blew up 5 minutes later. And just recently, he's been able to land it. And they talk about this guy like he's the savior of the world, right? He's a genius. But they fail to mention the fact that there's nobody in that craft, right? It just goes up and comes down. There's no people in it. And yet 60 years ago, we not just sent people 5 miles in the air inside that craft, but sent them 238,000 miles away. They landed on a foreign body. They got out. They walked around. They, like we said, drove a little golf cart. They played golf. They did all these tests and ran around and bounced around and fell down. And yet then they got back into the same craft that landed on the moon and took off from that craft, came back, and they told everybody, make sure you watch live on TV. It's just a joke. It's a joke that we have been confused to think. And then they just rehashed the story, and now we're supposed to be impressed that Elon Musk can land his craft again. But yet we landed it 238,000 miles away.
Sean, I'm showing you this is free falling back to Earth. This is Elon Musk's test flight of that craft that Jaron was just talking about. And they got, I mean, this is uncut footage. This is it from the ground, and then they show it high up in the air. But this thing is like 40,000 pounds free-falling. Look how high it is all of a sudden. It's free-falling, and it's going to land upright. And you know what? Let's go through this. Just another 20 seconds or so. All of a sudden, the engines come on. The camera edits, gets underneath it, an impossible shot. Two of the three engines will go out. Now, look at the smoke. Use your common sense. How fast is this thing moving? This is 40,000 pounds free-falling. And then watch the CGI smoke. Very important. Remember the CGI smoke, because we're going to see that when we look at William Shatner's fake space jump, and it lands. You can't watch that and think it's real, because if you do, there's really no helping.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Captain Kirk and his space launch. I believe that was aboard Jeff Bezos' penile-shaped rocket, was it not?
Yeah, before we go there, we just got to look at one quick thing. I would just for your audience that might be hearing this for the first time, take a couple of seconds. This is what the heliocentrist ball globe Earth believes, that we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, which means the sun is setting because you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound, right? That's not the bad part. We're orbiting at 66,000 miles an hour, and we're chasing the sun at 500,000 miles an hour. And I've said that a lot, but people don't really understand what that means. So Let me share my screen here. Where'd it go? Share screen with sound. And I'm going to show you, this is called the hypersonic sled. And just take a look at this. Here we go. Can you see that? Yes. So one more time. This is going by at Mach 8.6. Right? You have to believe that the Earth is orbiting the sun 10 times faster than that and chasing the sun in an elliptical, all of these are elliptical, at 100 times that speed. But then when you go out in nature, this is what we have. Well, nature doesn't lie.
And people do believe it. And we'll talk in a minute maybe about why people believe that. And what people believed throughout history. Maybe we can talk about Copernicus. Maybe we can talk about the Vatican. Maybe we can talk about the, I guess, the invention of the heliocentric model, when that happened, because a lot of people say this is what humankind has always known to be true. Okay, what you just described. But first, just because they do lie to us about everything, I wanted to do a little news roundup here. Again, how do I loathe Joseph Biden? Let me count the ways. Get this, guys. Not only is this guy considering a vaccine mandate for domestic air travel, he's saying he won't rule that out. More than half of Border Patrol agents may be fired for being unvaxxed. Think about that. We've got people streaming through the borders. Okay. No defense of our southern border at all. These people are not vaccinated, and they're being put on military aircraft, and they're being dispersed all over our country. Meanwhile, we're told we're not going to be able to fly domestically if we don't take the experimental death shot. And half of the Border Patrol agents are going to be fired because they won't take it either. We live in a mad, mad, mad world. But here's a little karma. Gavin Newsom, who took the mix and match booster from Moderna, has now vanished for 12 days. And by multiple accounts, he's very, very sick. He might have Bell's palsy or worse. To me, guys, one word for that, karma. I wish karma back on all of these evildoers. These people are monsters and they've sold our country out. Is there a better word to use than traitor, guys?
I think traitor is too nice. Monster. This might be better.
And I can't be positive that he took it. I can't be positive that they would be dumb enough to have him take it. But who knows? You know, because could it be just a setup that they want people to start claiming he's dead and then he just reemerges? You know, I never trust these guys. You don't know how far they'll go. Or maybe they just take the vaccine because they think it is safe and they've fallen for this entire medical tyranny. Who knows?
Well, the reason I wanted to bring that up is I just want to round out this part of the discussion as we go back to woo-woo and just say they've lied to us about everything. They say the vaccine is safe and effective. They say it's been tested. They say it's safe for kids. They say Joe Biden actually got more than 80 million votes. He's the most popular president in the history of our country. We call it the big steal. They call it the big lie. They literally lie to us about everything. And the mainstream horror media is in on all of it. So here's a question. If it's so easy to go to space now that Bezos is doing it.
Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, the Virgin Galactic guy is doing it. That billionaire is doing it. We've got Elon Musk doing it. What do we need NASA for? Okay, number one. And number two, how much money are we giving to NASA every year, guys, to do pretty much nothing?
$63 million every day.
Yep.
$63 million a day. Okay.
I think if we gave Dave $63 million and told him to do something for humanity, what we would expect in return, right? Let alone every day. And really, you know, the tin can, the ISS has supposedly been up there for 20 years. I would expect there to be one discovery that people would be able to name since we've spent so much damn money on that. That it has done. It can't even provide us with a 24-hour feed of the Earth. We have a craft that's supposedly in orbit at all times for the last 20 years. They can't strap a camera onto it that stays on for 24 hours. And going back to what you said about going back to some of its origins, right? I always like to tell two different, you know, quotes that got me going on this, you know, line of research a while back. But George Ellis, who people know, oh, Dave went to space.
That's pretty funny.
Imagine if I had $63 million, right? I did this with $0.
Yes. George Ellis, who's a mainstream physicist, recently made the quote of saying that he could construct a spherically symmetrical universe with the Earth at its center, and it couldn't be disproved with observations. And he said, a lot of what cosmology does is it brings worldviews or philosophical criteria into picking their models. And he says, I just want to bring that out in the open because a lot of cosmology tries to hide that. When I heard that quote, I almost lost my mind because what I'm taught as a student and as a young adult is that science doesn't lie. The point of science is to get to the truth, and it would never, you know, fabricate anything. And here's a mainstream physicist saying a lot of cosmology, which is a science, tries to hide that. So they try to hide the fact that we could also be the center of the universe. So then you go before that and you get to where Edwin Hubble is the one that came up with the expanding universe, right? He's the one who said, oh, I can see galaxies redshifting. And he was so appalled by, and I'm sure you've heard the quote before, where he says, you know, even though this observation can't be disproved, talking about us being the center of the universe, it must be avoided at all costs. He said the absolute horror of a unique position has to be avoided no matter what. So they came up with the idea of spatial curvature, which is the idea that we live on a balloon, and that if you put a bunch of dots on a balloon and somebody starts blowing it up, all the dots get further away from each other. And that was their... So it wasn't like they said the observations say we could be the center or we could be on this balloon. They said the observations show that we are the center, but we don't like that idea, so let's find anything else that works. When somebody said, what about spatial curvature and this expanding universe, they adopted that, and all of science, everything that people, not all of science, all of astronomy, if you will, has all been built off of a faulty premise, a incorrect foundation, that we are not the center, that no matter where you were at, whatever planet, whatever sun, it would look the same as here. It's just, it's insane that people can see that quote and not realize that we've been had.
Well, here's what I think is interesting. And I just want to share this with people. I've said it every single time David's been on, and it's this. I'm now a globe as we're told skeptic. You don't have to use the term flat earth. All right. Yeah. Now that term was just used by somebody who I admire. One of the best athletes out there, Aaron Rodgers, as he was explaining to McAfee on the, McAfee's podcast and show about why he didn't want to take the experimental vax. And he was very educated. He outlined everything, including the fact that Big Pharma is immune from lawsuits, all sorts of incredible information he knows, stuff I know, stuff you guys know, but the general public, most folks don't know the things he was sharing. But he said, look, I'm not a flat earther, I'm just very educated, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but here's why I didn't take it. I thought that was very interesting that this flat earth term still gets used as a pejorative when all we're doing in this conversation is suggesting that their fixed 24,901 mile math is their math. It's not David's math. It's not Jaron's math. It's not Sean's math. It's their math and they're tied to it. And now our generally available consumer electronic devices like, oh, the P900 or whatever, can see further than their math ought to allow us to see. Do I have that right, David?
100%. On the ball, the size that they tell us, a 6 foot tall person standing at the edge of calm water should see a physical horizon no farther than 3 miles away, according to their math. So at 3 miles, you shouldn't be able to see the surface of the water anymore. But with your naked eye, you can see the surface of the water. With a P900, you can zoom in and see things way, way, way beyond. So, you know, when Bill Nye has brainwashed everybody that when a boat goes over a ball, it disappears from the bottom up, he's 100% right. Unfortunately, we don't live in Narnia on a ball. We live on a flat plane, observable, testable, measurable flat plane. You know, hills, valleys, but water, large bodies of water at rest lay flat. And either the Earth is thousands of times bigger than they tell us, or it's flat and, you know, it's an extended plane. What's out there? Great question.
Jaron, you mentioned Edward Hubble. Why don't they just turn the Hubble Space Telescope around and show us a picture of our beautiful globe Earth?
Right. Or shine it at the moon and show us the rovers and the landers. They say it wasn't built for that. So it's very easy for them. It can see far.
Or they could take the tinfoil off and we can see what type of beans are in there because it looks like a can of beans and a soda can wrapped in tinfoil. This is an actual picture of the Hubble telescope.
And you know what's coming soon, Sean, is the James Webb Space Telescope, right? They're going to launch that, I think, in December, they say. And tell me if you think you would get fired from your job or, you know, a normal person would. The original launch date for that telescope was 2007, and the original budget was $500 million. Today, we are in 2021, almost going to be 2022. So they're only, 15 years late. And the budget has gone only from $500 million to $11.5 billion. So, I mean, NASA will be celebrated. You watch, mark my words, come December or whatever it is, I don't know, 15th or something. Whenever they launch this thing, you'll see it on every news because they've got the best PR department in the world, really. They can just do anything and put out this AP and every news station picks it up. It'll be all over the mainstream news. And they'll talk about how great of an achievement this is. There'll be no cameras on it. I've already looked into it. There's no camera on it. So there'll be no way to see this thing unfurl in space or know that it's up there. It'll, again, just be taking their word for it. And they're just slightly, just about $10.5 billion over budget and 15 years behind. But they'll be celebrated like this is something we should stand and applaud. It's embarrassing.
Well, they do this time and time again. And I just have one example here, but there's countless examples of past presidents bragging about how we can't wait to go to Mars. We're going to do it in the next 5 years, 10 years. This is from January 9th, 2004, Bush to announce manned mission to Mars, a bold plan to construct a manned base on the moon as a precursor to astronauts visiting Mars is expected to be announced by U.S. President George W. Bush next week. I'll skip down. Government officials have confirmed a new space initiative will be launched, and the media has reported details of the plan contained in official documents. According to these documents, the moon base would be constructed within the next 15 years. Okay, 2004, guys, that would be 2019, with missions to Mars or nearby asteroids beginning in the 2020s. They string us along year after year after year after year, and they fooled generations. That's an entire generation since 2004 that's been born and are now nearly adults who have swallowed this crap.
Right. And once you've swallowed that, imagine how hard it would be to admit to yourself that you've been fooled. So a lot of these people are just so gung-ho about space, they will stand behind it all just because they really, really, really want it to be true. And they'll make up any excuse, right? First it was space is hard. Now it's space is expensive, which is kind of the whole point of this Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and the other guy, Richard Branson thing, which is, they have to make it seem like now space is incredibly, incredibly expensive so that only the ultra elite can actually even think about it.
Well, let me do a screen share.
Oh, by the
here.
Way, I did a documentary called NASA Going Nowhere Since 1958. The point of the documentary was to show how every president has simply ping-ponged this idea back and forth. It's how they kick the can down the road. And I made predictions in it like that we would not go in 2024. What will happen is there'll be a presidential change again, and the new president will come in and he'll have a new directive, because this is what they've done going back as far as Kennedy, where every president just flip-flopped. And you even go through the entire, what a joke the shuttle program was. Imagine this, Sean. We had six crafts that could take up to 10 people or whatever it could hold to and from space. It could dock with the space station. It could do all, it's a magnificent, amazing feat of ingenuity, right? And yet they retired them all, put them in museums, canceled the whole program. And now, you know, at least until recently, they were paying $88 million a seat to fly up there with the Russians. So it's just embarrassing that you would never do that. You already have a spacecraft that can get you to space, and they just gave it up. No, we're going to put these on the shelf. It's insanity what people have allowed them to do.
Well, anybody who may be going to Washington, D.C. anytime soon, or if you live there, go to the Smithsonian and check out the lunar lander. They have one there, okay? It's the actual size. You go look at that thing, and you tell me how that actually could have gotten men to the moon safely. It doesn't add up at all. Let me do a screen share here.
And I still think they can't decide whether or not stars can be seen in space. And I bring this up all the time, because you can find astronauts saying all of the different possibilities. Either it's a pitch black, either there's millions of points, either you can see planets and you can see galaxies in the Magellanic Clouds. But then you have other, you know, Neil Armstrong said in cislunar space, which is the area between the Earth and the moon, that there was nothing visible except for the Earth, the sun, and the moon, basically saying that you could not see stars. And so it's kind of embarrassing. And then you have Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, well, in space, once you get above the atmosphere, you would see tons of stars, because the only reason we can't see them during the day is because the atmosphere glows with the sunlight. Well, even when, like, Shatner went up, and I don't know why he said this, but Shatner comes down and says that you couldn't see stars up there. So it's just funny that they never can get it right. I still, to this day, we have Leroy Chow, who's an astronaut, who said you can't see stars in space whether you're on the daylight side or the night side while doing a spacewalk. So they're just confused, and it's actually embarrassing.
David, do you happen to have that video clip of Buzz Aldrin basically admitting to the child that it's because we never went? He stumbles. I love how these guys get older, and then the truth just inevitably comes out, because the truth is the truth. And the lies get very difficult to process and to keep straight once you hit 80, 90 years old.
I don't have the clip handy, but it's easily findable on YouTube.
Right.
Jaron will pull it up. But is it interesting that the astronauts that went to the moon have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? They're actor-nauts.
They're actor-nauts.
Actor-nauts.
Okay.
So, I'll just give me 1 second to find that particular part.
Sure.
Want to talk about William Shatner going to space, a 90-year-old... heavy set man falling out of the sky. So what did we see that told William Shatner went into space? Well, we saw a rocket launch, and this is a Blue Origin launch. It's not the one he was on, where, you know, first they have this very interesting shaped rocket, because they are children. And whenever you watch a launch, there's edit. I'm counting the edits here. It's edit. And this is not a real launch. This thing is not going into space. Nobody sees it go up. They do it all different ways. Sometimes they launch something real, which I'm going to show you in a moment, but this is CGI. And as you can see, crazy camera shots, but there was a glitch that happened, and I'll back up and show it to you in a second. So we've been going for maybe 10, 15 seconds. There's been six movie type edits. It's the same thing. So watch the CGI glitch on the top of the rocket. Something goes wrong right there. I'll zoom in one more time. Right here. Watch the rocket. And there was a time a while ago, we were looking at photos of NASA's launch, and we found these big projectors. Like, what are these lights? And I think it was you, Jaron, that looked up that we saw a name tag, and we looked it up, and it was a holographic projection company. Why does NASA have holographic projection equipment on their lawn? Well, this rocket here that I'm showing, I call it the Tupac rocket, because it's not there. It's not a real rocket, and something went wrong. And the way you can tell if it's real or not is there's no smoke trail, because you know how that thick smoke trail? That's when they're launching something. Usually it's a balloon, a helium-based rocket, but the top of the rocket disappeared, right? I'll zoom in and let you see it a little better. This is an error in their you know, when they were doing this, and quickly it was taken down. But us flat earthers, we downloaded it before they got rid of it.
Jaron, if you have that clip, go ahead and play it. I just want to ask you guys this. My wife and I went down to Merritt Island, Florida to look at a house, actually, just a couple months ago. And Merritt Island is where I think there's a NASA launch location. And maybe that's also where SpaceX is. But literally, as we drove up to take a look at this house, we heard rumbling, very kind of frightening to us. We had no idea what it was. And the real estate agent came out, and it was at that point we heard kind of a sonic boom. And she said, oh, that's SpaceX. That's one of the rockets they just launched. So I heard it. I know they're actually launching something. They're not all helium balloons. What do you suppose that was, David?
So there's many ways to make a sonic boom. They could just be flying an aircraft over and like, all right, hit the speed of sound at this time, and we'll say it's the rocket. But when you watch these things launch, when you, I showed you before that one that was coming back down, that's SpaceX. I mean, if they're faking one rocket launch, they're faking the others. This is the space shuttle. Think about this. This thing is 4 million pounds, okay? They show you that this, if you just Google space shuttle launch, you'll find this video. These people are 10, 15 miles away. They're not right here. This is editing. But if you think what a tornado does to a metal fence, a tornado, 300 mile an hour winds, that's a strong tornado, will tie metal in knots. It'll splinter trees and telephone poles. Right? This thing has superheated fuel coming out enough to lift 4 million pounds, and nothing happens to this fence. Okay? Nothing. The rocket actually goes up and then comes down a little bit. You don't do that with 4 million pounds. That tank, which is, you know, I forget, it's a couple of tons or tons empty. Maybe it's 20 tons empty. It's falling back to Earth, and it's gonna burn up. Just trying to, here it is. So this is the part. Just think about this. This is being filmed, and I want you to watch right over here. You're going to see a handkerchief blow by, which is going to give you an idea of how fast this thing's going. But this is being filmed by the guys that are on the shuttle that are on their way to orbit. So they're going up 17 to 25,000 miles an hour. There it goes. You see it? 17 to 25,000 miles an hour, and somehow they're filming this thing free-falling back to Earth. Any working mind will say, that's impossible. This is a balloon, okay? Now, there's PVC pipe going along the side of this thing, okay? This is not a aerodynamic vehicle in any way. And if you look, see another piece of paper went by. This is just a balloon. I'm not sure if it's being filmed from underneath or above, but this is the SR-71. At Mach, you know, 2,300 miles an hour is the fastest it can go because it gets too hot. But that hunk of junk with PVC connections and everything is going like Mach 25. It's insanity what people believe. But here's the thing, Sean, as you know, belief is easy, right? I could say, you know,
belief
is easy. I can tell you something like, hey, I've got 10 pencils in my pocket. Okay, you believe it, right? You have no proof of it. Belief is easy. It takes no effort. It takes no thought. Thinking about this world, understanding the lie. And the last thing, and I'll throw it back to you guys, is this lie is so big that people can't see it. And people go, well, what difference does it make? I still have to go to work. That's where they got you. They want you spinning out of control, lost in space, not knowing who you are, hiding the creator. Because people that find the creator, people that understand the power that they have, are a threat to the powers that want to be.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just say one thing about what you just took us through regarding the space shuttle launches. I bumped on some of those things you were saying because I lived through those launches. Okay. So I've got some cognitive dissonance as it relates to those launches. I watched them as a young boy. But here's one thing I want to say that I think is really important regarding space shuttle launches is that the Challenger explosion that had all those astronauts on that vehicle that we saw explode when I was in school that very day, I was in high school when that happened. We watched the explosion over and over and over again. Okay.
Did
the explosion
live,
was real. No, but well, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I did not watch the launch live, but the principal broke in, said there's been an accident. Then the TVs went on. Then we saw, okay. But here's the thing. Those astronauts said to be aboard the Challenger all have doppelgangers that are alive and well today. And I just want to point that out as it relates to us being lied to about just about everything.
Twin brothers and twins, you know, they always had twins that weren't around before and didn't attend the funeral.
didn't attend their sibling's funeral. None of them attended their sibling's funeral.
Here's that video. I'll bring this up if you wanted to see this real quick. While I've
yeah, Buzz Aldrin admitting to a child, I think, what the truth is.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted to keep it going.
Yeah. So we basically never went in the first place. Basically, that's what he's saying.
And yeah, he recently on Conan O'Brien was Conan said, you know, I saw you on the moon. He goes, No, you didn't. He goes, we didn't have television cameras up there. You were watching animation. Mm-hmm. He said that on Conan just like within the last couple of months.
Let's talk about this, because this is fascinating. I remember very clearly, I think anybody who was alive at the time does. I remember my parents waking me up, and we went down and we watched you guys land on the moon.
No, you didn't.
What?
Because there wasn't any television. There wasn't anybody taking a picture. You watched animation. See, you associated what you saw with...
I have very hazy memories.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then you've got Michael Collins. I have this interview with him, and I think Bryant Gumbel asks him, you know, how do you feel when you look up at the moon now, knowing where you were 20 years ago? And he says, well, when I look up at the moon, I can pretend that I've been there, or I can pretend I haven't been there, and it works for me either way, which is the biggest joke ever. Why would anybody who's been somewhere say that they can think about it as if they haven't been there and it works for them? Because I don't know about you, but if you told me, Jaron, have you ever been to Hawaii? And I say, yeah, and when I think back about it, I can pretend I've never been there and it works for me. Well, it really doesn't work for me because I have been there. So how could you say that you could just pretend you weren't there and it works for either way? And then they all giggle. If I have a chance, I'll bring that up for you too as well.
Yeah, please do. And Jaron, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Again, I had a little bit of cognitive dissonance as it relates to the space shuttle launches and the balloon thesis that David just took us through. And some of this stuff to me is we get in the weeds here, and I like to stay with the quantifiables. Let me give you an example. On 9/11, we know that 3 towers were brought down with 2 planes. Nobody ever talks about World Trade Center 7. It's the smoking gun that they lied to us. The official story regarding 9/11 is not true. What happened to World Trade Center 7? Why did the BBC's Jane Stanley report about the collapse of that building 10 minutes before it collapsed? And then her signal fades, live reporting live from New York City, and then the building collapses. Why did NIST take 6, 7, 8 years to explain the collapse of that building? Well, because they wouldn't account for the use of explosives. So here's the thing regarding 9/11, people get in this infighting over Judy Wood's thesis that it was some sort of directed energy weapon that brought the towers down. So what I guess I'm saying here regarding my thesis that I'm a globe as we're told skeptic, what are some of the quantifiables that I could rely on that back up my thesis that maybe they're lying to us about the nature of this thing we live on? What are some of maybe the top 5 or top 10 quantifiables?
Well, they're able to always go back and correct things, right? So it's just like when our cameras and telescopes started to see further than we should have been able to, they were just able to invoke some 7/6 R, right? They're just able to say, oh, no, actually, there's a refraction, a standard refraction that we can actually see over the curve, and this is why we're able to see things that we shouldn't be able to. So they're always able to kind of destroy anything because they claim it's science and people think science is true. So I don't know if that's what you're really asking, or you're talking about things that we can use to prove that they're lying.
Basic proofs, yeah. So according to their math, as I said before, a 6-foot tall person shouldn't be able to see the surface of the water beyond 3 miles. But the truth is we can see way beyond that. So people say, well, boats disappearing. Well, you don't see a boat here. And now that I'm zooming in, I'm increasing the angular size, and now you can see the boat. So I'll zoom all the way in on this boat, and now I'm going to zoom out, which is the same as the boat going away, and the boat will disappear from the bottom up due to what I call the wave front edge, due to angular size, where the bottom has a lower angle size than the top, and now it's gone. Now someone will say, well, that's over the curve. No, it's not. I just zoomed in on it. If it was over a physical horizon, no amount of zooming would bring it back in. So
Dave,
here is,
good.
Real quick, here I'm zooming in and I'm increasing the angular size and I could see this, we'll just call it a boat, the little thing we have on the table. And when I zoom out, it disappears due to the reflection, its angular size. Now, if I stand up, I can now see beyond it because I've increased my angle of view. And globers will just say, if you go up, you can see farther because the Earth is a ball. No, when you stand up higher, you can see farther. Go to a football field, put a football on the 10-yard line. Go to the far end zone, lay down on your ear, and look at the football. You'll see that football. It'll be on a horizon, and you won't be able to see anything beyond it. You might not even be able to see the bottom third of the football because of the grass in the foreground will be blocking it. Then stand up, and now you can see all of the land into the end zone and all the way down, you know, to the end of the stadium. So
it disappears bottom up. If you look at this, whatever that is, matchbox or whatever.
Yep, it's a matchbox.
There it is with the bottom disappearing first. So all these things that they've told us are fabrications. I mean, I don't know about you, Sean, but I used to hear that the water goes down this separate directions in the north and south because of the ball Earth. And then you grow up and you figure out, no, that's a lie. And I don't know if you've ever seen, Sean, have you seen videos of the water and or images and there's a boat that's floating? It happens every once in a while and they'll make a big deal about it and they'll say, oh, look at this crazy thing this person caught. This boat is floating above the water. And they'll call it a mirage there. It's not a mirage. And what's embarrassing is that this is so easy to prove that that boat is sitting on the water, that the water continues out as far. And sometimes you can find the picture where you can actually see that line beyond it. Now, it just so happens that when you're looking through the most dense part of the atmosphere, right, which is going to be right against the ground, and you're looking across water. So it's the most disparity or the most, right, because you got the water's a certain temperature, the air right above it's a certain temperature. So what you actually do is you lose the ability to see, and that's where we get that hard line where you can see there what they might call the horizon. And the problem with that, of course, is the horizon, even by definition, is an apparent location. Why? Because you can never get it or pinpoint it. Go ahead, Dave.
So what we're seeing here, and there's all different things, and this I see this all the time, except I usually have land behind me, which ruins the illusion. You got a monotone sky, no clouds. So this is just smooth water versus ripply water. So there's a breeze here creating a line. Now, if I draw in the horizon, now it doesn't look like the boat is floating anymore. Just ripply water, calm water, reflecting a sky. So you think this is the horizon, but the real horizon's way back here.
Right.
Yeah. So when I mentioned quantifiables, one of my favorites is the Suez Canal. Okay. So when we're told that the Earth is 24,901 miles round, there's a fixed math that they're tied to. So supposedly the Earth's curve is 8 inches per mile squared. So Jaron, help me do the math. In the Suez Canal, which they never engineered for curve, and by the way, I can show a picture here, I'll splice it in, where you can see from above, maybe it's a satellite picture, I don't know what, but you can see the entire 120 miles and more. How many miles of curve are we talking about here that they never engineered for and that we don't see in that satellite photo? Isn't it like 6 miles of curve that's not there?
I think at 100 miles, it's 6,000 feet, so just over a mile.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be just, you said 120 miles long?
Yes,
120. About 2 miles of curve.
Okay.
But regardless, that's insane. And what's even more insane is just thinking, you know, San Francisco to Hawaii. So that distance there, 2,500 miles, which is the same as like California to New York. But that is 760 miles of curvature. So, I mean, even to imagine a couple Statues of Liberty stacked on top of each other of ocean water in some sort of curve between me and Hawaii is insane, let alone 760 miles. We don't even need to get into how many Statues of Liberty tall that is. That is insane to think that there's that kind of standing hump of water. Here's this real quick. Let me show you. This is the, and I always bring up too the smiles that these guys give at the end, but here it is. This is a old interview with the three astronauts and Brian Gumbel.
Hey friends, this is a good time for a quick break and a word about our sponsor. Yeah, it's Noble Gold. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Mike Collins, but for today, how often are you reminded of your achievement?
Well, if I go out back and look up in the sky and see the moon, I either can remember where I was 20 years ago, or I can pretend I've never been there, and it works for me either way.
I'm going to assume that it was.
And look at this face.
Mike Collins, but for today, how often?
I mean, he turns and looks at them after they're both laughing, and he's giving them a look, and they're both just jiggling. One time, we'll just watch the end of that one more time, so you can see that look.
There, and it works for me either way.
I'm going to assume that it was
very weird to
Mike
me.
Collins, but for
very weird to me. And I wanted to show you this Elon Musk thing real quick. Elon Musk, who we're told is like, you know, some genius, right? I mean, I saw him say, number one, everybody knows him. Oh, by the way, here's another. When you see this, this is a mirage. Right, you can see that the image of whatever this is has been flipped, but they call it a mirage when the boat sits up here and there's no image flipping or anything. That's not what a mirage is. But Elon Musk, who we're told is this genius, I caught him saying this, and Sean, I don't think you've ever interviewed anybody this dumb in your entire life. Watch this.
Can you explain basically the line of thinking that led you to the Starship design?
Watch what he says here.
I forget what I need to look at to look like I'm looking at the camera. So
he says, I don't remember what to look at to make it look like I'm looking at the camera, which there's no human being that could possibly be that dumb. You obviously look at the camera. That's how you make it look. And he says, I forgot to know what to look at to make it look like I'm looking at the camera. Just things like that baffle me, that they think this guy is some brilliant mad scientist sending rockets to the sky, and yet he doesn't know where to look to make it look like he's looking at the camera.
And don't forget, he sent his Tesla into space. I think it's on its way to Mars.
Well, and I think that's the ultimate psyop right there. That's how we know it's all a psyop, David.
No,
I think so. We it's so easy. Like, we put a Tesla in a rocket, and then we're going to just let it, or I mean, it's just nonsense. It's 100% nonsense. And then you saw that glitch. There's a glitch where they have a camera system too.
And this right here is not as high as the space station. You can see the entire globe from lower than the space station, which can never see the globe.
And it's supposed to be like 8, I think you have to be like 8,000 miles away from something to see something 8,000 miles wide. They just forego that and just put this up there. Dave, do you have the image that shows that you can see the Earth through the wheel well? You know, and another thing that Elon Musk said is, he said, oh, we put the car up there. We didn't do any modifications to it. It's exactly as it is on Earth. We just put it up there. Of course, we know the paint would melt and everything else, so it might be behind Dave's head. That view there, when you watch the Earth come around the other side, and I'll tell you when to pause it, Dave, if you can. Look inside.
I can't pause it.
Okay, look inside the wheel well right here, and you're going to see the Earth appear through it, coming up right about, give it a second. And when you see the Earth through the wheel, you realize that that's not a real car. There you go. See the Earth through it? Mm-hmm. But where's the front part of the car? That's not how cars, and you can actually see the real car sitting in a garage or sitting, and you can never see through the wheel well. There's brake pads behind that. There's disc, you know, all that stuff that goes into the hood of a car. And yet in this world, they just can see the Earth right through the wheel well.
Jaron, let me ask you, your logo in the background behind you over your left shoulder, there's lightning and stuff happening there. It just reminds me of sprites. Maybe those are sprites, but it just looks like lightning from my vantage point. Let's just talk about the sprites in the firmament. Let's talk about the dome. We see it in Hollywood movies and TV shows. The Simpsons movie was all about a dome. Let's just talk about quantifiables or non-quantifiables as it relates to this thing we sit on. What is the firmament? What are sprites? What do you really think is the nature of creation?
You know, I think it's a good question, but I don't know. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I don't have a problem with not knowing. I think that I would rather get to the end of my life and everything that I believe is false, as long as I came up with those beliefs myself, rather than get to the end of my life and realize I was right about everything, but every single thing was just handed to me. I can't imagine that the creator or whoever is in charge of this place would ever have expected or wanted us to just be nothing but little drones that are sit in little desks and write down what the teacher says and then be able to regurgitate it and then go through life repeating those things over and over ad nauseum. There's nothing there. There's no growth there. There's no excitement there. It's just very mundane. And to think that the elite of this world or the rich and powerful sit around and say, how can we teach these children to be rich and powerful like us? How do we teach them to be so smart and so, you know, have this entrepreneurship in their mind that they're able to come and take my money and my family's wealth? The absolute opposite is the truth, right? You would sit around as a powerful person and say, how can we make sure these children never try and come and take our power and never try and take our riches? And so they've come up with a pretty crafty education program, right, that is mostly indoctrination with very little practical world skills. And so what do you get when you come out of school? You are, well, basically a leftist. You basically are a tax-paying citizen who will do whatever the government says. And that's pretty impressive on their part to create a program that, that has come out with that and that people can't see it. People are, it's like Stockholm Syndrome, right? People are so in love with this government that they just trust them no matter what.
And Sean, you know, when a kid comes home from school, when a kid, you know, starts a preschool, nursery school, the first worksheet they come home with, one of the first ones is the orbits of the planets and the moons and the sun and everything. They're indoctrinating us at such an early age, it's hard for most people to break. Now, most people, when they say, you know, do you believe that Elon put a car in space? They're like, yes. And I'm like, did you watch any footage? No. You know, do you believe that we're landing rockets right side up? Yes. Have you watched any of the footage? No. And so these are people that just believe. I was that person too. I was just like, get out of here. This is ridiculous. And it's only the people that really look. If you Google flat earth, you're not going to find anything other than what the elite are going to feed you. That's why, you know, you Google flat earth, you get all of their PSYOP videos that are out there. But if you really look, if you know where to look and you take the time to think, use your God-given senses and stop believing complete and total nonsense, then you'll see. Then you'll see why it matters. Then you'll see how they've gotten away with all of this insanity that's going on in the world. And the way they got away with it all ties down to you not knowing who you are, where you are, what this place is, how powerful you are, and believing that somebody has control over you. The only control governments have over you or anybody is in your imagination.
Yeah, and it's if people don't believe what we're saying too, go to YouTube and you know, search first flat earth proofs and then look at what they serve you the first, you know, 20 or 30 videos.
You'll get Professor Dave, which is just a snarky actor,
right,
gaslighting us. It's just horrible, horrible stuff.
And then do change your search term. Then go flat earth horizon proof. Then go flat earth best proofs of flat earth or whatever you want. Keep changing the search term and you'll notice that you get the exact same videos every single time. And so I just had a friend reach out to me the other day and says, hey, I've been trying to look into this flat earth stuff, but how come when I search, you know, YouTube, all I can find is all the debunking stuff? And it's like, well, that's it right there. That's what they've done. And they've basically shadow banned all of us. We no longer can reach anybody that's not subscribed. So, you know, my subscription number, Dave's subscription number pretty much stays the same all the time.
All right, so I Googled flat earth. Let me just read this from Wikipedia, and then let's just talk about Copernicus. You tell me if I have any of this right. But according to Wikipedia, the flat earth model is an archaic conception of earth's shape as a plane or disk. Many ancient cultures subscribed to a flat earth cosmography, including Greece, until the classical period, 323 before Christ, 323 years before Christ. I guess after that time, they just knew instinctively that the earth was a spinning globe.
But what do you think the oldest globe is, Sean? Based on that, what would you think? Because remember, they knew it was a globe. They knew it was a sphere. I would start mapping things on a sphere. What do you think the oldest globe that they have in existence is?
Well, I can't even venture a guess, but my understanding is that the heliocentric model was concocted by Copernicus in what, the 16th century? On the back of a request by what, the Vatican? Do I have any of that right? And didn't Copernicus disavow his own thesis of the heliocentric model right before he died? Do I have any of that right?
Well, he supposedly released it on his deathbed, but yeah, in the prologue or the preface, it says, you know, let no man think this is meant to be a reality, a physical reality. It's not. It's meant to be a mathematical, you know, explanation. So you have that part right, but no, the oldest globe that they have is 1492. So there's no physical globe that's ever been constructed before 1492, but we're supposed to believe that 1700 years before that, they knew the earth was a sphere. So I guess they just sat around, didn't ever think of sailing the ocean, you know, going west from, you know, say Spain or something. Why wouldn't they do that for 1700 years if they knew the earth was a ball?
Right. Okay. Well, no. And here's the thing about it. I just bring all that up because, again, we've been lied to about everything. I mentioned Wernher von Braun earlier in the interview about what he said it would take to go to the moon, how big the rockets would need to be. And what is on his tombstone, his grave marker? Psalm 19:1. What is Psalm 19:1? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night and day, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The skies proclaim the work of God, Wernher von Braun.
Sean, and also Wernher von Braun, the story of Wernher von Braun, I think he was just a Hollywood actor, but you know, he was a Nazi scientist brought over to run NASA. But in the 1950s, he wrote Project Mars about a group of people that went to Mars and they were led by a guy named Elon. This is Elon Musk's rocket that he said recently that he wants to make it pointier. He wants to redesign it and make it pointier. So this is them foretelling, just like Arthur C. Clarke and his satellites, and then all of a sudden they're satellites. All of this stuff, they tell us in advance, and then somebody just recently said that science fiction writers lead the way for real science.
Yeah, they do. I bring you up indoctrination. I just wanted to bring this up. I saw this recently. I couldn't believe it. This is just a worksheet that they're giving out students in school. So if you still have your children in public education, you know, what is the problem? Well, it's time to crack down because these anti-maskers and vaxxers are willfully negligent and causing death, injury, and possibly a killer epidemic. And the teacher says yes. And then they have to write all the things that anti-maskers are doing and how wrong that they are. And this is scary because you now have students coming home that, you know, think it's hilarious for, you know, it's a government conspiracy. You know, masks can compromise your immune system. They're making these jokes saying this is what they're saying. But the truth is, of course, that there could be no conspiracies and that science says that the mask works. And it's just sad because this is what you should expect. If your children go to public school, don't be surprised when they come home soon and start saying, even if you told them, no, I don't want you to get the vax, they're going to come home and tell you that they want to get it. I've heard that teachers are telling students the only way to be normal is to get the vaccine.
That's unbelievable. Well, it's totally believable. I mean, these teachers are just, the schools are so toxic. And, you know, the DOJ is going to label these parents who are pissed off about all of this Marxism being taught in the schools, the DOJ under Merrick Garland, under this puppet president, this fake president, is going to label these people domestic terrorists. Are you kidding me? We've jumped the shark. Let me do one addendum here, one fix. I should have read that Psalm 19 passage from the King James Version, because the first line is the most important line, and it goes like this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So there you go, a reference in my view to a flat plane and a firmament created by God as told in the Bible.
And I would just want to point out, you know, all of our history telling us of all of these, you know, people and mathematicians and all the stuff that happened, we don't have proof of any of that. But on the other hand, and I think I mentioned this last time we're on, I interviewed this woman, Ruth, 102 years old, back in February 2020. And I was interviewing her about the World's Fairs that she had gone to in New York. And she had such a great memory. I asked her what they taught her in elementary school about the Earth. And she said, they taught me the Earth was flat. Here in America, in public schools in the 1920s, they were still teaching flat Earth. There's encyclopedias from 1959 that talk about a firmament. I think we talked about that in the past. But so anything before 1900, they're all just stories. And I don't know what's true. So, you know, when you ask for verifiable stuff, let's not talk about stuff in the 1800s, because unless you know somebody that's still alive today, it's kind of useless to speculate.
And I just think not enough people talk about the impossibility of the timeline. Anyway, for me, you can just go back 23 generations, which, you know, 30 years a generation would put us at about 1300-ish. And even that far back, all of us have a billion grandparents. If you do I've got two parents, four grandparents, eight great-great-grandparents, 16, so on and so forth, all of us have a billion grandparents, yet the world population was around 200 million. So I don't think humanity's been here, no way, 1,000 years, far less than that. So our entire history is fabricated. The dating and the time periods are fabricated. Everything about it is fabricated. Imagine going back in time, creating a date, like if we decided today, you know, let's call George Washington's birthday the zero. We're going to start. That's going to be zero every year after that. Imagine the insanity that would go on beyond that to try and change everything that's ever been written about the dates before that to BC, the dates after that changing it. That's what they tell us they did. That they just, and we can't even find books that talk about what year it actually was, because every book that we have has been rewritten. So every book that we have has been rewritten with the new dating system, and that's insanity to think that at some point they said, let's go call Jesus's birth zero. Everything before that we'll call BC. It's complete fabrication, but they tell it at such a young age, and the lie is persistent that people can't see through the facade.
John, do we want to talk about the billionaires in space a little bit? I got a couple of things to show.
Yeah, let's talk about billionaires in space, and then we can kind of wrap this thing up. I mean, we had no agenda here other than just to talk woo, and I really appreciate your guys being with me here. And I would say this, again, how do we know? Jaron, you just said you don't believe human beings have been on the planet for more than 1,000 years. I find that very difficult to believe, but who knows? The point is they've lied to us. I think there's a whole hidden history to this world. There's a lot of evidence to the hidden history of this world that they've lied to us about absolutely everything. The timelines don't make sense. The technology doesn't make sense.
To prove it to yourself, Sean, but you know, take whatever you think the growth percentage of humanity is, the growth rate, right? So at the end of 1 year, how much does humanity grow? If we have 1,000 people on the Earth, at the end of 1 year, what is our new population? They say it's about 1.2%, which means that at the end of the first year, it would be 1,012. And then at the end of the second year, it would be 1,024. And you just keep multiplying it by 1.2%. I think it's probably more realistically around 2%, meaning 1,000 goes to 1,020. And that includes all deaths and all births, right? So we don't have to think about death rate. You're just thinking, how much do we increase? Well, do the mathematics on if you started with two people with a growth rate of 2%, you would be at 10 billion in less than 1,000 years. So they say 7 billion, whether or not people believe that, I don't think it's probably off by more than a couple billion. And so to me, that kind of human race could come about very, very quickly. We don't need 10,000 years. All these long dating periods to me are just trying to fit this whole, you know, evolution narrative and long time periods, and that we can date rocks. And I don't believe any of it. But again, I was in the same way when I first started hearing people talk about, I don't know if you've ever looked into Flamenco and his new chronology. But when you start looking into it, you realize that it's, a lot of the history that we're told are fabrications and retellings of old stories. And we don't even have old books that we can reliably date much longer than 1,000 years.
Well, I'll say this, and then Dave, you can take it away with billionaires in space. They lie to us about everything, including, as we're having this conversation, COP26, climate change, human beings are the enemy. They hate us. They hate us. They want us gone. They don't want us having any access to affordable forms of energy. This lunatic puppet president killed the XL pipeline on day one. Now he's saying he's going to kill another pipeline amidst an energy crisis, where my local energy company, XL Energy in Minnesota, wants to raise our rates 20%, they just announced. You know why? So they can fund solar and wind. This is all BS. And by the way, next time you're on an airplane, friends, flying from Colorado to Minnesota or LA to New York, think about the claim that the world is overpopulated, as you see nothing for miles and miles and hundreds of miles, just wide open spaces. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. They hate us, guys.
We're like the Amazon rainforest. I think you can fly for about 4 hours over the Amazon rainforest and not see anything but the Amazon rainforest. And if you've ever flown for 4 hours, that's a long distance to go.
Yeah. All right. So billionaires in space. I just want to make this point. We're told that Elon Musk is the world's richest man, or is it Jeff Bezos? I can't keep track. That's one generation of wealth. So never mind the multi-generational central banking families. Forget those guys. There are no such thing as trillionaires. Just the billionaires, the front-facing rich guys we see, the Forbes 100, the top 400 richest people in the world, never a Rothschild, never a Rockefeller, never a Windsor. All right, billionaires in space.
So we're told that Bezos and Branson went up into space. They had 4.5 minutes or so of weightlessness, but we never see more than a few seconds. There may be 5 seconds. They always have a girl with long hair flipping around. This is what's called a zero-G flight. And they use all different techniques. But what we're seeing here is a zero-G flight. And Richard Branson's not having a good time if you look at his face. And a zero-G flight, for those of you that don't know, is like a 747 or whatever plane it is. And it does this parabolic arc. And you can get like 20 to 45 seconds of weightlessness. So that's all they did. They filmed that a whole bunch of times. They edited it together. He lands on his glider and does a press conference and says he was in space. when this thing probably was filmed days earlier, weeks earlier, who knows? But, you know, they just outfit it to look like his silly plane. The other thing is, looking at Bezos, this is Bezos's rocket, his penis-shaped rocket. I'm saying what's, you know, the way it looks. And they always film it like this. Like, most of the time, it's got this funny motion because they're laughing at us. They're literally laughing at us. But think about this. If you go to a bike race or a marathon or a stunt car race, you know, wherever, you got Evel Knievel's jumping over the canyon, what do they always have there? They have ambulances, okay? So William Shatner, a 90-year-old man, launched up into space, coming back. When he lands, look how slow this is going. And now this is just a movie. Edit, edit, edit. Look how hard this thing is hitting the ground with a big fat 90-year-old on there and no ambulances show up. Just an inside news crew, not any news agency, just like Elon's guys. And they're all telling stories and Shatner's doing his horrible acting. Oh, the blackness of space. And it was like death. And oh, it's just nonsense. And they want us to believe this is real. Now,
there's a camera shot of inside when it hits the ground. I want to see the reaction of...
Oh, yeah, they don't show that.
And, but look, can I just say, devil's advocate, not everything has to be CGI. I mean, they can fake stuff. They can fake rocket liftoffs. They can fake all that. But you know what? It's like dropping...
This is real. This is real.
Right,
There's nobody on it.
Okay, exactly. What I'm saying is you could drop that thing from a Boeing, all right, at 35,000 feet. Right.
Like that.
So, right. So elements of this stuff is real, but the whole story is concocted and patched
together.
Yeah,
I'm kind of in the same. I'm in the same belief that I don't even think I don't put it past them being able to do what Richard Branson says he's doing, which is basically a reverse bungee jump. And it's just it's a parabolic flight, but a lot higher. Right. So you basically throw people up as high as you possibly can. And then with those wings that kind of unfurl, you can kind of float down at a speed that allows people to float inside this craft. So I don't put it past them being able to do that. But they go around telling people, oh, they've been in space, and it's just a lie. It's an absolute lie. And I don't think they'll ever take people up there. Like right now, they are claiming they're going to, but you'll see. I'm guessing there'll be an accident or something like that, and then they'll say no. And already as it is, it's too expensive for anybody to go anyway, right? And it doesn't even make sense. Think about what Richard Branson's plane does, and he's charging people, I think it's $600,000 a piece. That's insanity to think that a launch of a plane that goes up and then unfurls and floats down would cost multi-millions.
So that footage behind you, David, is that from the Apollo missions?
This was Apollo missions, correct. So
this is my point. This is my point. It's all a movie.
But also this wasn't the Apollo mission. This was a training
test. You know, I get
a test. But if you watch, we'll let this play through again. When we go to those red and white parachutes, that is Apollo. And if you think about this, this thing weighs super heavy. It's falling, and the parachutes are opening. And if you ever watched like a parachute open, these guys are moving fast. The parachutes are whipping in the wind. You'll watch these things. This thing's barely moving. Right? Watch when it starts to fill up. Whatever this is, it's moving really slow. Really slow, because if this was still free falling without these things being opening up, they'd be going hundreds of miles an hour.
This stuff for me, this gets into conjecture.
Look at this. Look at that. That's not moving hundreds of miles an hour.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because I'm in the same boat. It's just too easy to drop that out of a plane and go pick these guys up out of the water. And what do? They send some Navy cruiser with some 3,000. Crewmen on there, and they tell them, hey, you guys are going to pick up these guys from space. And so they go out in their boat and they're looking it around, and they drop it out of a plane. These guys go and get it. And just imagine that right alone by itself allows those 3,000 men to go home and tell all their family about what they just went through, what they saw. And it's the reason why they tell us that through the Apollo program that they passed out the construction of the Saturn V and everything to some 20,000 companies and 400,000 employees. And the reason why they did that is so that everybody in the country at that time knew somebody who worked on the Apollo program. So you could never say, oh, I don't think that they went to the moon. They'd be like, how dare you? My grandfather worked on the Saturn V. So everybody knew somebody, and that's not at all what you would do. If this is your first time going to the moon, you would want that as controlled as possible. You would never pass out the construction of this craft to 20,000 companies because there would be no way to keep it in line and to make sure that there's no mistakes. So it tells me that everything that they've ever done, NASA's done, has been nothing more than PR. It is, like you said, it's a movie. It's meant to. And hey, right. Don't get me wrong. They inspire people. So if that was their goal, they do it. There's people who are inspired because they think they can go to the space. And there's people who now talk about living on Mars, which is a joke. Why would you want to go live somewhere that you can't live without being in some sort of bodysuit? You know, if somebody told us they were going to go live at the bottom of a volcano, we'd be like, well, why would you ever do that? And if they just said, well, just because we want to go prove that we can, that's insanity. Well, nobody's ever said they wanted to do that. So why do we want to go live on Mars? It's just stupid.
Right. There's no atmosphere there. They have to terraform it. Yeah, it's crazy. Why don't they just build a dome in the middle of the Ethiopian desert? At least we can get some railways to bring supplies there. let me share my screen real quick. This is Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, who was talking with Shatner before he went up. And listen what he tells him.
Retired Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield joins me now to talk some more about this. Thanks for your time tonight.
Good evening, Morella.
So you actually sent a message to Mr. Shatner. What did you say?
Well, we chatted back and forth, wishing him well, telling him to absolutely revel in the experience, and you know, to make sure he doesn't get all caught up trying to record it or something. Have fun, you know.
Interesting. I can't stand that guy. I'll tell you why. Do you guys remember those? And I think they probably still have them. The masterclass. You know, you could be taught music by a musician, cinematography by one of the great Hollywood cinematographers. This guy had his own masterclass, and there's a spot with him. I don't have it in front of me. It's on my other laptop, which is being
if you're watching.
But there's a spot, a masterclass television commercial with Chris Hadfield, where he says, you know, when you go into space, boy, I can't recollect exactly what he says, but he says, you can't just cross your fingers. And he holds up his Freemason, his Masonic finger crossing, where he's got, boy, I'll try to find the picture, but I'm doing it right now. You guys can't see it, but he's crossing all four of his fingers on each hand and holding them up.
Yeah, very, they love
very
flashing.
Masonic.
They love flashing their signs. Here's Chris Hadfield playing guitar and singing a song for everybody. And the other guy is in another room. This is green screened, and he misplaces where Chris is and sticks the microphone right into his neck. Okay, it was inside of his neck. There's no denying it. This happens all the time. And they just don't care because people that don't believe what we're talking about will refuse to look, you know, and people that, you know, they don't care about us that already can see. They just don't want other people to see.
And they do a good job of confusing everybody with, of course, we were all taught from a very young age, right, that Flat Earth was the dumbest belief that there could be, which is still pretty ridiculous. I can think of many more dumb beliefs, but that's one that they taught us all was, you know, a sign of a stupid person is the Flat Earth. So that's why you hear Aaron Rodgers and these guys throw that in. It's because that is the go-to saying for crazy. But what they do is they convince everybody. It's like one of the biggest debate tactics that, you know, or fallacies is this whole idea of a straw man, right? And that's all that they do is build straw men. We actually go and attack their actual beliefs. So when Dave tells you it's crazy that we're spinning 1,000 miles per hour and traveling 66,000 miles per hour, that's what they actually believe. And when we say, how stupid is it that they think we can see trillions of miles just because we put some glass inside of a tube, now all of a sudden we can see back in time. That we're not building a straw man. We're making fun of your actual belief. When they talk about flat Earth, it's always the straw man. They'll show a picture of the moon with some flat line in front of it and say, flat earthers believe this about the eclipse. Nope, not one person does. Or flat earthers think that the Earth is rising at 9.8 meters per second. No, we don't. Not one flat earther thinks that. Here what flat earthers think, and they'll show the picture of the flat Earth with the sun and all the planets. Nope, no flat earther thinks that. So everything that they do is a straw man. They build a straw man of what we believe, what they say we believe. And this is why people say, well, time zones could never work on a flat Earth. Well, that's because people are under the assumption that we must believe that the sun, like they believe, is 867,000 miles wide. If you're listening to this, go outside today and look at the sun and just think that you've been told that that sun is 867. You can't even imagine something 10 miles wide, 20 miles wide, 867,000 miles wide. And why do you believe that? Simply because someone told you and you have no way to ever verify it or prove it. And it just goes on and on with all their nonsense. It's 93 million miles away and all the mathematics that go into it. And then people think that mathematics equals reality, when they don't realize that there's a difference between the mathematics that you're using when you've already proven your items, right? So if I say, I've got two pencils and it equals four pencils. Yeah, I'm showing you the two pencils and the other two. You can't then go to space and say, oh, well, the see, these orbits are working with the, and then the math works, so therefore it's true. No, you have to first prove to me the size of those planets, the distances that they are, what they're constructed of. And of course, we don't get any of that.
Boy, you're getting me all riled up.
All over the place, sorry.
No, I'm all riled up. I found that Chris Hadfield commercial for Masterclass. Meet your new instructor. Chris Hadfield teaches space exploration. Look for the finger crossing.
No astronaut launches for space with their fingers crossed. That's not how we deal with risk.
So there you go.
He's just being funny.
That's not how we deal with risk. We don't cross our fingers like Freemasons. We rely on science.
Let me quickly go do a screen share here just to compare what yesterday's launch. This is yesterday's launch. This is what they show us, right? Something filming that ridiculous space station, and then this is the shuttle, the vehicle coming in. I mean, this is all they show us, Sean. This could be done by a 10-year-old. And then they just go back and forth. You got these silly announcers. You got all these people standing here. They never show you anything that's real. Let me just jump here for a second. This is interesting. I think this is the one. Oh yeah. So this is them filming it coming down.
WB views.
So we were taught
first views of Crew Dragon. Look at that tail. That's the 3,500 degrees. Yes. Look for the hot thing, right?
It is the hottest thing in the sky right now. That is such a. It's literally lighting up the
Endeavor,
sky.
SpaceX, come check.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I could do this with a torch and a smoke machine and a dark closet. You know, Jaren, flick some ashes quickly. Flick some ashes over me.
And Dragon, we've got you.
And it's actually just a flashlight. And let me just jump forward to show you how I'm jumping forward. Then they switch to this screen. This is 2021. This is what they're showing us as proof of this landing. Jumping forward. This is what they're showing us. Jumping way forward. And then the parachutes. Listen to this. Right?
At about 6,500 feet. Oh, Gary, look at this. This is an excellent view of the drogue parachutes.
So now watch these other parachutes that don't open and listen what they say.
Deploy. We'll wait for confirmation of four healthy mains.
Four healthy mains. Count them. Uh-oh, one's not looking so healthy. One's not opening, but the script says they're healthy.
Great news, 1,000 meters.
Four healthy mains.
We copy 1,000.
They're very healthy.
I can't ask for anything better. We got confirmation of, you heard on the loops there, four healthy mains. Descent rate is nominal. That means we are expecting splash.
Right. This is what they're showing us, Sean. It's the same stuff from the 1960s. It's just ridiculous nonsense.
Let me share one thing and then I'll be done. I'll shut up for the rest of the show, I promise. So this is a just kind of going off what Dave did too. This is at my house with 99 cents. I'm able to do this. Let me make it a little bit bigger for you.
Jaren's house is in space. Didn't he tell you?
Yeah, I'm up on orbit right now. And again, this cost me 99 cents to put a simple green poster board behind my window and show you what it looks like from space. So, it's just when something can be so easy for me, imagine what you could do with the kind of budget they have. And then I just wanted to show this, that everybody talks about, the sticks and shadows experiment that was done by Eratosthenes supposedly 2,300 years ago. And they make it sound like it's just proof, right? Because he measured these two different shadows. They were different lengths at 500 miles apart, and therefore the Earth is curved. But just taking these two pens on my granite countertop, which is flat and not curved, and using a small local light, like we believe the sun is, you'll notice that the shadows are much different. And if I measured the difference between those angles of those two shadows, I could not then infer that my countertop is a sphere. So again, they tell a story, they give you the facts, like the sun is this size and all its light is parallel. Well, yeah, if that's your belief, if that's the truth, then you're right. Then it'd be very difficult to have different shadows. The problem is, of course, we don't believe that. So they always build these straw men and make it seem like they've disproved flat Earth when it's like, okay, now use a local small sun and you'll see that angles could be different. You know, when the sun's on top of the yellow marker, there's going to be a longer shadow in the pink. Doesn't mean that I can then do the mathematics and come up with the fact that my countertop is a sphere.
All right, you actually can do the mathematics.
Yeah, and then so I mean, it just baffles me. And then, you know, you can go into, I was at the end of that Flat Earth documentary where those guys lied about my experiment. They completely and totally took one little scene out of 4 hours of observations and different outcomes and put it at the end of their movie and inferred that I proved that the Earth is curved. So now again, did they do a good job of maybe convincing thousands of people that the Earth is curved? Yeah, but they did a better job of convincing me that it's not, based on the fact that their only possible chance of finishing that movie the way that they wanted was to tell a lie. That's anybody who's got a lie. You don't have to lie to get the truth across. If the Earth is curved, you don't need to lie about my experiment to prove it to people. And once you do, well, then I'm on to you.
Well, we live in a world of lies. If you have an issue with experimental vaccines, you're an anti-vaxxer. If you have an issue with the heliocentric model, you're a flat earther. It's always pejoratives because they don't want discussion. They don't want conversation. They don't want exploration. They don't want critical thinkers. They don't want free minds. They don't want freedom at all. So as we wrap up this conversation, I want to thank the audience for going on this meandering journey with us, this journey into woo. If you guys want to learn more, I highly advise you to go over to YouTube while you still can and subscribe to Jaronism. Is that the name of the channel there? Jaronism? Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Sean, let me share one more thing before you wrap up. People think that, you know, they're flat earthers are just, there's just a small fringe. They're not. This is my app, the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, and I added the friend finder on it. This is just the people that are near me, okay? Within 50 kilometers, I have 217 people that are near me, and you can communicate with these people through the app. You can find other people that are like-minded, and there's people already getting married because of this. They're finding people, and they're just, it's an amazing, amazing app, and it's called the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. More importantly, on the app, if you're new to this, every day featured video, and I'll feature this video on it when it comes out. On the bottom left, you have the featured video, and I tell people, watch the featured video every day for 2 weeks, and then you too will lose the respect of your family and friends because you'll be a flat earther or at least a globe denier like Sean. Okay, and the app has all the resources you need. The question mark will show you all the questions that you're going to ask. Hey, what about seasons? What about eclipses? What about ships over the horizon? And that brings up playlists of videos that YouTube is hiding from you. So check it out. Read the reviews. Don't buy the app. Just go check it out. It's in the Google Play Store. It's in the App Store. And it'll be on Amazon, I think, next week. Check it out. Read the reviews.
And yeah, and if people want to find me, if you haven't looked into Rockfin yet, ROKFIN.com, it's a place where creators are starting to assemble, and it's allowing free speech. So there's a lot of people there, myself, Globusters, Crow777 is there. I heard Owen Benjamin's going to end up there. You know, you got some people, mainstream people like Jimmy Dorn and kind of people like that. Nathan Stoltman is there. Who else am I missing, Dave? You've got Brian Staveley and Karen B. And
there's all. It's a growing community. And Sean, maybe you want to look into going over there too.
Yeah. So they allow free speech, and it's $10 a month, and you get all the content, every channel that's there. But if you go to rockfin.com/Jaronism, I just feel at home again. If you remember what YouTube was like 2015, is how it feels to be at Rockfin now. Do we have enough audience there? You know, maybe if I'm lucky, I get a couple hundred views live. So it's not as good as YouTube, obviously, but we want to grow it because anybody who's welcoming, and will it be around forever? No, I'm sure it'll be just like every other platform that comes and goes. But for now, it's pretty nice to have a place where we can speak freely. And I do like the first half of my show on YouTube, or the first couple minutes, and tease what I'm going to be able to talk about. And we can actually go over there and talk about the vaccine and talk about
like grown-ups,
heart problems that come with it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of Rockfin, and I'd also advise you, maybe Jaronism, check out BitChute if you're not on BitChute. BitChute does better for me than even Rumble. I know there's a large audience on Rumble. I'm there too. Odyssey. Boy, it takes time though to upload in real time, doesn't it? You know, you can only upload to so many places. So primarily I'm on BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Gab.
Can you do live streaming at Rumble or BitChute?
I believe you can do live streaming on Odyssey and potentially possibly Rumble. I'm not a big live streamer, so I don't really know, but Rockfin you can, huh?
Yeah, right. That's kind of the good thing about it.
Sean, anybody listening, if you have an audience, if you know of a podcast, if you that wants to talk Flat Earth or even doesn't thinks Flat Earth is stupid, check me out, flatearthdave.com. There's a booking link there. Let's get this word out, because the only way we're going to get our, if we get our freedoms back, if we get them back just for a little bit, how long are we going to be able to keep them if we're lost in space spinning out of control? This is one of the most important messages going out there. And when people wake up to the Flat Earth reality, or the globe deny, you know, just not a spinning globe flying through space, that's all you really need, then everything changes. And we're growing, as you can see, with all those blue dots. So help me get on other shows, spread this word. I see a tremendous growth this year. We just had a conference in South Carolina, and there were so many new faces. So it's growing. And people that are listening, if you can help me get on other shows, flatearthdave.com. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah. And by the way, I would just say this as we finish up here, guys. Why do we have these conversations? Well, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is this subject led David Weiss back to God. This subject Absolutely. May have saved your soul, David.
And you know what's funny? Jaron, at the first conference I went to, he opened up his speech, said the reason they're lying is because they're hiding the creator. That literally Jaron brought me to find that truth. So it's an amazing thing. John, I get so many letters from people. Like, I thought Flat Earth was stupid. I was anti-religion. Now I'm looking at it. Now you've brought me to the creator. People, I brought them to Jesus Christ. I brought them, you know, I always draw the line. You know, there's a creator, and that journey is your personal journey. It's not me to tell you who that creator is. I'm just going to prove to you there is a creator. And then you have your personal relationship with the creator.
And I think Flat Earth works the same, Dave. You know, that I used to try and force it on people, and I realized real quickly that you'll never get anybody to, you know, come to realizations of truths by forcing it on them. So now what Dave does a good job of, what I try and do, is introduce it, put it out there, and if people hear about it, if they choose, nah, I don't like this, I like spinning on a ball, I like being a speck of dust in the middle of an endless universe, and their gotcha questions are ridiculous, right? Like, what's underneath your flat earth? It's like, well, what's underneath your universe? So they allow themselves to believe in these crazy thoughts of spinning balls of gas and space and a vacuum, which doesn't even make sense. And it's an endless universe. There is no end to it in any direction. It's just endless. But when you tell them about a flat earth, they want to laugh and joke. And I think what they did is they took what is actually magical, which is our existence. If we were not taught anything, we would grow up, we'd look around and say, wow, this existence is magical. And you would recognize creation, and you would recognize the sun and the moon as being signs of that creation. But there's men who got here first who decided to make it very mechanical and make it very material. So they told you about spinning balls in space. And so, of course, our first thought is always, what's underneath this? What's on top of it? When the earth may literally be all that there is, might be everything that is in existence, exists through God and exists on this earth. And they've made it so that now we believe in distances and the moon size and the sun size. And they tell you they know what happened 1/1000th of a billionth of a trillionth of a second after the Big Bang. And we let them tell us that. We let them tell us that we can see trillions of miles. If we look out at the horizon, like Dave was talking about at a beach, we can only see 3 miles. But if we get a little tube and put some glass in it and carve the glass up a little bit, we can now just tilt that telescope up a little bit and see trillions of miles, and we actually see back in time, which is just magical.
Crazy.
Amazing.
Well, friends, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And first, I need to thank my guests, David Weiss, the app, Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. You can get it. You should get it. Support David. And Jaron, the YouTube channel is Jaronism. He's also got a little thing called the NASA Comedy Hour. Tell us briefly about that as we say goodbye, Jaron.
Just, I have so much fun sitting around myself watching old NASA film and just laughing, especially because the stuff of the 60s and 70s is really bad. It's a really bad joke. And so I just came up with this idea that it would be fun to do a comedy hour that's almost like a comedy show. So I usually just play some old NASA footage and have a great time laughing at it. And people have enjoyed it so far. So yeah, check that out. That usually stays on YouTube. Usually I can get away with talking about that there and just pointing out the hilarity of it. So that's it. And then remember, always let's go, Brandon.
I was just going to say that. Doggone it, you beat me to it. I've been staring at that T-shirt for 90 minutes. I could talk to you guys all day, honestly. This has been really fun. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. And remember, don't let them control your mind with cartoons.
And let's go, Brandon.
And let's go, Brandon.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother. I want to thank you all and remind you, for real news 24/7, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and mockingbird mainstream media whore lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Just a quick word about our sponsor, Shrinkflation. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time, everywhere now. But the government insists that inflation is under control, or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
The remdesivir was used years ago by Fauci in some trials for HIV. The study had to get shut down early because of the amount of kidney damage that was happening in the test participants. So it's nothing new to the community that is informed that remdesivir is nephrotoxic. And when your kidneys are damaged, you don't perfuse oxygen. So it's actually the treatment that's causing the death, not the condition itself.
Well, that's it for now, friends. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And I'll remind you every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.